Well, today is the first Sunday in June 2024. Now, we know that the calendar tells us the summer doesn't begin until the 20th, but we also know the truth, that as soon as Memorial Day is over and June has arrived, it is summer. So how do I know it's summer this year? Well, the days are longer than they used to be. The weather's gotten warmer than it used to be. I already know people who have been to the beach. That makes it summer. But more than anything, there's one really special form of evidence. Over the past week at the Cooley House, we brought three things into our home, and every one of them were more than welcome. Already this summer, I've had a vine-ripened tomato. Already in my house, we have enjoyed a sweet cantaloupe. And at my house right now, we have an ice-cold watermelon. It is summer, people. That means we're in the season of the year when things we love to enjoy are beginning to come out, and they're fresh and they're flourishing and refreshing. It's all that you were dreaming about in the middle of the winter. You know, those times in February when you go to the store and you see that tomato and it's red and it's so inviting, and you know it tastes like a piece of cardboard. And then the summer comes. Cold weather's gone, pollen season is over. We have earned a good summer this year. Sometimes that's exactly what we need. We need to go through those winter seasons. We need to go through those hay fever weeks in order to recognize I've earned my summer, I deserve it, and I'm going to enjoy it, because that's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us that we are people who are called to flourish in our faith. God's Word never pretends that we don't live in a world where you're not going to have to go through those winter seasons, when you're not going to deal with disappointments and struggles, but it tells us this: in the midst of it all, God's given us the opportunity to flourish. And in Psalm 92, the passage we read together just a few moments ago, the Bible tells us this is how a Christian can enjoy a flourishing faith. So let me just take a few moments as we enter into summer this year and talk to you about how you in your life can build a summertime kind of faith, a flourishing kind of faith, because Psalm 92 tells us everything we need to know. The first thing it tells us is this: a flourishing faith begins with a decision, a simple decision, but a really important decision that every one of us is challenged to make. And that decision is this: I will trust God's plan for me. I will trust God's plan. One of the things that we know is true is this: God has a plan for each and every one of us. You are deliberately created. You are wonderfully made. And God has a plan for your life. And it's out there for you to receive, and it's there for you to enjoy. But you have to make the decision: I'm going to trust God's plan. His description of a flourishing life is not the same as what the world might embrace. It has nothing to do with material abundance. You can't say, I have everything I'm ever going to need, so I'm going to enjoy a flourishing life. There's no guarantee of personal success in the manner the world defines it. God never promises the sun will always shine or that you will be constantly happy. In fact, the promise Jesus made to his disciples is this: sometimes you're going to go through seasons of tribulation. Every one of us are going to know what it's like to experience seasons when we're challenged and pushed and we struggle. But in the midst of all of that, you can flourish when you choose to depend upon the faithfulness of God. When God talks about having a flourishing life, one of the things he's saying to all of us is, in the midst of the challenges and in the midst of the difficulties, you can recognize the Lord is with you and he's going to take care of you. It's vital that you choose Christ over any of the easy answers others may offer you. Because the world is full of opportunities to grasp hold of that one thing that's going to make your life fulfilled. The one thing that's going to satisfy every need of your life. Just this morning, as I was getting ready to come to church, I discovered the one thing missing from my life that will make everything absolutely perfect is a hose pipe. I saw it. It was right there on television. Not just any hose pipe. This one will never kink. This one will always flow. And when you turn it off, this one just winds itself up. And you never have to think about it. If I can just get one of those, my life will be absolutely full. And so will yours, except maybe what you need to make your life fulfilled is a cheese grater. Or a particular brand of hairspray. Or just exactly the right automobile. Or $1 million. The world is promising us all of the time, I've got just exactly what you need, and if you have this, then it's going to make your life perfect. Whatever it may be. But here's what the Bible reminds us of. Those are things that come today, and they're gone tomorrow. Look at what verse 7 says. It says, when the wicked spring up like grass and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Now, what is it that the Lord wants you to know? He wants you to know that clinging to a shallow belief about flourishing is as trustworthy as the grass that is here today and gone tomorrow. That one of the things we need to always understand is all of those things that everybody's telling you are going to make your life complete, they're not going to last very long. Anything you achieve apart from him is only yours for a little while, whether it's something material or whether it's something professional or whether it's the acclaim of others or whether it's a great accomplishment in your life. One of two things is going to happen. Either it will leave you or you will leave it, but it's not going to last forever. God's plan has a lot more to do with who you are on the inside than what you see on the outside. The Bible defines a flourishing life as one that is in a personal, growing relationship with the Lord that will cover all of your life. Listen to the promises that the passage we read together make. The righteous shall flourish. He shall grow. He shall be fruitful. He shall be fresh and flourishing. He shall. He shall. He shall. He shall. He shall. Not might. Not should. Not ought to. Whenever you make the decision to be right with Jesus, you shall flourish in every situation, period. That's what the Bible says, not me. That's what the Bible says. If you want to experience a flourishing life, if you want to experience a life that is full and overflowing, then one of the things you got to recognize is none of that other stuff's going to satisfy you. The only thing that's going to satisfy you is a rich, lasting, lifelong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That and nothing else. Flourishing faith begins with the decision, I will trust the Lord. But that's only the beginning. The Bible also tells us this, and flourishing faith is a result of a growth process. One of the things that is true is flourishing in your faith is not an overnight thing. You can't decide today I will follow Jesus and tomorrow you're going to be a fully grown, fully matured, fully enriched follower of Jesus Christ. It's going to take some time. Receiving Christ is the matter of an instant. We discovered that just last week when Ember gave his life to Jesus. It was the matter of an instant. He prayed a prayer. Jesus came into his heart, and he became a believer. But walking with him is the call of a lifetime. Walking with Christ means day by day by day, week by week by week, year by year by year. That's why there's such a big difference between verse 7 and verse 12 in Psalm 92. Verse 7 says this, the wicked spring up like grass and wither away. Verse 12 says, the righteous grow like palm trees and cedars. Unlike the grass, a palm or a cedar tree takes years to reach full maturity. About 3 weeks ago out in my yard, we decided to plant two trees. We planted two olive trees. We'd had some a few years ago, and that bad frost killed them. And I planted those trees about 3 weeks ago, and I went out this morning, and guess what? No olives. Not one. It's gone from this big to this big, and still no olives. Why? Well, what they tell me is 5 years from now, I'll actually see olives growing on my tree. But it takes that long. Cedar trees, palm trees, they don't spring up overnight. It takes time, a long and patient process to achieve their full potential. And once they reach maturity, then they are fruitful for years and decades yet to come. And that's God's plan. God's plan for everybody who trusts Him is that for a lifetime, you have a fruitful walk with God. Remember this, when the Lord grows a soul, He takes His time. He's more concerned that you get it right than that you get it fast. He wants to make sure you are in the midst of becoming everything God wants you to be. What am I saying? If you're like a palm tree, if you're like a cedar tree, there's that definite beginning place in your life. But over the course of your lifetime, you will continue to grow and flourish and bear fruit. And there'll never come a time when the process is finished. You will continue to grow for as long as you're in this world, and then you reach fulfillment when you go to heaven and you spend time with the Lord. It is God's very deliberate way of growing your spiritual life. In fact, Psalms tells us this. There are three seasons of flourishing faith. The first season is the season of surrender. That's the season when the Lord challenges you to give up control and trust His hand. That's what you're doing when you make that decision, I will trust the Lord. You're going through a season of surrender. Verse 13 describes surrendered believers as those who are planted. Who are planted. Whatever you may see growing in your yard these days is evidence somebody planted that. Whether it's a tree or a vine or a shrub, somebody decided to put it there. They can't plant themselves. They depend on someone else's hand. They don't grow randomly, but according to the plan of the Master, who carefully and deliberately puts them exactly where they need to be so they can accomplish exactly what He wants them to do. When you do landscaping at your house, you don't want things to just spring up randomly. You have an idea. This is what I want it to all look like at the end. You know what? So does the Lord, except He's dealing with you. And He is saying, this is what I want you to look like when you have been cultivated by my hand. If a believer is going to thrive, then we have to learn how to surrender. Lord, I've tried to do this my own way. It just hasn't worked. I've tried to let other people show me what I should do. It's just frustrating. I surrender. I surrender. The season of surrender teaches you that you don't have to understand everything about following Christ in order to grow. But you do have to understand the necessity of depending on the Lord. Surrender. James 1:21 expressed it this way: receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. That's surrender. The implanted word that God places in your heart through His Holy Spirit so that you can grow. The first season is surrender. The second season is a season of spiritual growth. This is the season where the Lord is at work in the depths of who you are. During the season of growth, He is actively changing you from the inside out. You know, so many people approach this whole principle backwards. This whole idea that I need to grow from the inside out often gets reversed in people's minds, and they're convinced that the quality of your spiritual life is revealed by what you do on the outside. If I'm going to be a good Christian, then I need to be at the right place. I need to be doing the right thing. I need to be saying the right words. I need to change myself on the outside. And if I change myself on the outside, then God will begin to change me on the inside. And they find themselves very frustrating because the spiritual growth's not coming, because you're trying to do it all yourself. With a belief that if I change myself, then God will change me. That's not the way the Lord works. The truth is this: the Lord wants to change who you are before He changes what you do. Yes, He does want you to reach that point where you're going to the right places, you're doing the right things, you're saying the right words, but it's because that's an expression of who you are on the inside. He's working in your soul so that He can change your actions. During the season of growth, most of the changes are happening in a place that's really only obvious to the Lord. You're not worried about what the people around you are seeing. You're just worried about what the Lord Himself is doing on the inside of your soul. It's a time when your walk with Him grows deeper and more personal. It's no longer external stuff. It's not they said in Sunday school. It's not He said from the pulpit. It is God is at work in me. I am listening to what He is doing in my life. It's a season when you learn to hear His voice, to follow His guidance, to learn to trust Him more. The Bible gives us a poster boy, someone who goes through a season of growth. His name is the Apostle Paul. You know, most people just kind of assume that Paul encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road, and the Lord saved him and changed him, and immediately Paul went on to a missionary journey. That just as soon as he was saved, he started to do the work of ministry. But that's not his testimony. His testimony in Galatians chapter 1 is this: before my public ministry ever began, the Lord led me to Arabia. And I spent 3 years all alone. I spent 3 years letting God change me from the inside out. The interesting thing is this, and Paul never described what happened during those 3 years. It's as though Paul said, this happened. How did God do it? That's none of your business. Let God do His work in your heart the way He did mine. But we do know this. He met the Lord 3 years alone. And when he came out of those years, when Barnabas came and found him and put him to work, he was ready to change the world. He served the Lord for a lifetime. The season of growth is a necessary time of growing spiritual roots that are deep and strong. It's when you take some time and you set aside and you let the Lord Jesus Christ do work in your heart and soul. It's a season that will cause you to spend a lot of time alone with the Lord. But without that time, you'll never reach your spiritual potential. Strangely, it's also during that season that you may go through experiences of difficulty and hardship. It may be in those seasons when God is beginning to grow you that you're also going to find yourself encountering struggles and hardships and difficulties. But the Lord knows what He's doing. You see, God will use your struggles to compel you to depend upon Christ. And sometimes we only do that when we don't have anywhere else to turn. And the Lord uses that time to teach you how to trust Him. Your faith in Him will grow stronger in the hard seasons. Some years ago, I read a book. Those on our staff or who know me well know one of my very favorite words of all, books of all, and it's called Lessons from a Venetian Vine Dresser, and it's written by a fella named Scott Steiner, who was a missionary in Italy, and he lived next door to his friend Aldo, who had been a vine dresser, a fifth generation vine dresser. And as he followed him around, he watched what he did, and then he used all of that in this book and applied it to John 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. One of the things he noticed that made his friend Aldo different from the vine dressers who had places around him was this. When things got dry, when seasons of drought might come, while other people had irrigation going in every direction, Aldo didn't irrigate his vines. And he asked him that one time, and he said, because it's those seasons of hardship that make the vines grow deeper roots and stronger vines and will produce richer fruit. And those around us who are irrigating their vines find those vines never gain strength. They never deepen their roots. It's just too easy to stay on the surface. And Scott Steiner said, you know what? The Lord does the same thing in your life and in my life. And sometimes when we go through those seasons of struggle, it's one of the ways the Lord is using to deepen your roots and strengthen your ability to follow Him. During that season, He'll lead you to grow beyond a shallow faith and into a deeper dependence upon Christ. Instead of turning from the Lord, you learn to turn to the Lord during seasons of struggle. And that prepares you for the final stage, because the third stage is the time of fruitfulness. This is how the Bible describes it. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The fruitful season is when God moves on. It's when God uses your life to make a difference for Christ. This is when the external things begin to find themselves giving evidence to the people around you. Rather than beginning with the externals, you begin with the internals. But when God has done His work on the inside of you, then He begins to do His work outside of you and through you. People begin to see the evidence that you walk with Jesus. They respond to his presence in your life. When the Lord shows you how your life can make a difference and calls you into the arena of actively serving him. That's the season when the fruit becomes very evident in the life of a believer. And here's the thing, and fruitfulness is the most externally effective season of your life. It's what the Lord had in mind all along. In those times when things seemed to be going slowly, in those times when you were frustrated with your faith, in those times when you were having to go through struggles, it's in the fruitful season that God begins to show you, I really did have a plan, and I really do know how to use you, and this is how I'm going to do it. The fruitful season, it's when you lead others to Jesus. It's when you serve others in his name. It's when you lead others to follow him. This is how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says this, for we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the fragrance of death leading to death, and to the others the aroma of life leading to life. In other words, people see what's happening in your life. People recognize your faith in Jesus. Now understand, that may mean some people don't want to be around you anymore. And that's okay. But others are going to be drawn to the presence of Jesus. And as time goes by, one of the things you'll recognize is some of those people who once wanted to stay away are going to be the people who are slowly drawn in to the presence of Christ in your life. People around you are affected by the Savior within you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the hope of glory. The key to a flourishing faith is realizing you can't pick and choose among those three seasons of faith. It's impossible to go straight to fruitfulness and skip surrender. You can't experience growth but hide your fruit. You have to experience all of those growing stages of faith, and each stage of faith has to have its turn in your life, and then you flourish for Christ. Don't miss God's promise. He says, they shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying this, God's plan for you is a plan for a lifetime. It's not a plan for just a little while. It is a plan that is for as long as you walk the planet Earth. Through good and bad, easy and hard, sunshine and storm, it is the enduring evidence that Christ is in you. And here's the promise. And there is never a time when he stops blessing a life that is surrendered to him. There never is that time when the Lord says, okay, your season is up. Now you just sit down and let other people make a difference for the Lord. It is a lifetime call. While I was getting ready this morning, I was watching Greg Laurie, the pastor of Harvest Church, on television. Greg Laurie came to know the Lord in the early 70s. It was his story that was told last year in that movie that many of you may have seen, The Jesus Revolution, about a young man who began to search as a teenager for some kind of meaning in his life, and he searched in all sorts of ways until he finally found his way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that I loved, and that church that he founded in his 20s is the church that he continues to pastor today. And as I was thinking about this message and watching him, this is what he said that really struck home with me. He said, I trusted Christ when I was 17, and I'm serving him now when I'm 70. I just thought, well, that is so good. He has pastored faithfully for all of these years and continues to serve the Lord today. And I thought, now that is a fruitful life. That is a fruitful life. I met Jesus when I was a junior in high school. And here I am all these years later, still walking with Jesus, still serving Him, still trusting Him. Now that's what a flourishing life looks like. Not external stuff, not the things that other people have told you will give you fulfillment. The fulfillment is, I met Him then, I serve Him now, no regrets whatsoever. So what about you this morning? Is that a good description of your life? Is that a good description of your faith? Can you say, I remember when I met Him, and I know how I've walked with Him, and today I continue to serve Him? Because that's really what He wants to be real in your life. He wants you to have that same testimony. Maybe somebody's here today and it's time for you to begin your journey. It's time for you to trust Jesus as your Savior and to begin your walk with Him. Maybe you're a believer, but somewhere along the line you've kind of slipped to the side and you've lost your way. Maybe today is the day when you begin to say, today I come back. Today I begin to walk. Today I move toward that journey toward faithfulness that I can only have from Jesus. Is there something the Lord wants to do in your life? Do you need to come and receive Christ? Do you need to become a part of this fellowship? Is there something specific the Lord is telling you and you just want somebody to pray with you? We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and if we sing, and as the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.